Coming up on Roundabout, Heinz makes dining while motoring a little bit easier. Wheel skirts could be making a comeback, except not. And we take a look at a money-saving iPhone app in our Auto Gadget segment. Stay tuned for all these incredible savings, plus a brand new segment after the break. You're going to want to sit down and stay a while. Go ahead, take your shoes off, make yourself comfortable. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase.
From the Wheel Spin Network in Annapolis, Maryland, I'm Christian Conover.
In SideQuesting's airship hovering over Macomb, Michigan, I'm Dolly Domofsky.
Dodging hurricanes and gators in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross with autobytel.com.
From the Roundabout Program Headquarters, I'm your emaciated host, Craig Cole.
And I'm your fun-loving producer, Benjamin Sanders, man.
This is Roundabout.
I'm not buying that one.
Too late.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 98, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Well, hello again, everyone, joining you a little bit late, a little tardy this week. From our Roundabout bunker on the ground floor of the Autoline Family of Fine Programs headquarters.
Getting bunkerish by the day
as
we prepare to move.
As the boxes pile up.
Just to remind everybody, at the top of the program, we do have the program. Sorry. That's the new Roundabout drinking game. Every time somebody says program, take a drink.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Good. It's Craig's fault. It's all Craig's fault.
I forgot my Kahlua.
Okay.
Oh, duels.
As Ben alluded to, we are packing up the family, gathering everyone up. A big bear hug. We're moving our offices, our studio, to a new location, a few miles up the road, 8 miles to be precise.
But not on 8 miles.
No. Heavens to Murgatroyd. No. So
the top floor of the Rensen, huh?
Yep. Where that restaurant used to be that would turn. We bought them out, closed them down. Fired
it's
all the workers. They employed almost 200 people. Hard to believe, but they're all gone now. So we coming at you again, Roundabout illustrious panel. We've got another one assembled this week. Jeff Where's Ross, Dalibor Domofsky. We've got Christian Conover from the heart of the Deep South.
Except down there. Oh, it's like you practiced that or something.
From Maryland. That is the heart of Dixie, isn't it?
Boy, I'll tell you what.
the ankle deep south, but yeah. shallow. Anyway, we've got a great show planned, and it's hard to believe it's already been 98 weeks. You know, I'm never going to get that time back. Neither are you.
Nope.
That's just of broadcasted episodes, too, by the way.
We are well past
that
century mark. If you count the pilots, plural, that we did, much to Ben's chagrin.
And by the way, now we can't, you know, let anyone, we can't reveal this yet because it's still
close to the vest.
Yeah. But we're going to have some big news leading up to episode 100. Mm. So stay tuned.
Big news.
Big news, in fact.
Good news. Big news, everyone.
I'm not going to promise that it's good news, everyone, but I will say it's big news, everyone.
It's certainly news.
Like the Smart commercial.
Can we take guesses?
No. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Take guesses.
Go ahead.
You're all getting sweater vests.
That
You're
happened
fired.
Last year. I just never got mine sent to me.
Well, we never sent it in the mail. Well, one other thing before we get rolling here. We've got another giveaway.
Speaking of our moving.
Yes. Peter DiLorenzo. Maybe you know him. Maybe you don't. If you don't, you should learn of him. He's the Auto Extremist. He's got a couple books out. We are giving one away, Witch Hunt. Essays on the U.S. auto industry and the blithering idiots who almost killed it. You have an opportunity to win this treasured hardcover book right here.
For those audio listeners, he's slapping a book.
Yeah. There
you can hear that texture.
That's nice, high-quality paper.
I think they used
that's
birch
the
wood.
Sound of books.
Yes.
Anyway, so, Facebook. What can people do, Ben?
You go to facebook.com/roundaboutshow. We've put up a hideous car there. Well, I am the beholder.
Don't judge.
But I think it's not too handsome. I actually found this in a Best Buy parking lot. It's some custom job. But I think it needs a name. So give your best clever make and model. Mm-hmm. We'll choose the best one, and you'll get Witch Hunt by Peter M. D. Lorenzo.
Right there, beautiful cover.
Is it signed? Somebody in the chat room is asking.
Yeah, I was just going to say it is not signed, not to my knowledge, but maybe.
But maybe we still have a Thursday coming up. You know, we might, if that would sweeten the deal.
If we slipped a C note in here, we might be able to work something out.
We're not saying we're going to do that, but we're not saying we won't.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. So
one more time, that is Witch Hunt, Peter DiLorenzo. Go to facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Enter our little contest. Comment.
Let's get going.
Shall we? All right. I believe I shall inaugurate this week's episode, so take it away, Craig. Why, thank you, Craig. Great idea. First up, there is no doubt about it. The safety Nazis are slowly taking over every aspect of our lives, from riding lawnmowers that won't cut while going backwards to brake shift interlocks to ground fault electrical outlets. All the fun and danger of living is slowly being taken away. Despite all of this madness, there is a mythical land where the rules do not apply. It's called China. The wild, wild east. But there is a limit to even what the Reds will allow. According to Jalopnik, a minivan driver in the country was pulled over under the suspicion of having an overloaded vehicle, and it turns out it was. The miniature van he was driving, designed to hold 8 passengers, was stuffed to capacity with, get this, 66 children.
What?
How'd they do it? How'd they do it? Well, enterprising owners replaced the seats with long wooden benches, and there's video to go along with this story. Unbelievable. It's like he's transporting geese or something. You see these kids just sticking their heads out the window. Yeah.
They don't look upset. I think they enjoyed themselves.
It probably beats the sweatshop where they're working.
They're mining rare earth minerals.
No iPhone 5 yet.
Yes. We need those rare earths. Get on it. But in happier child-related news, Dolly, you are a father, and you have something that may be making your motoring life a little bit easier.
Yes. So there are two things that I look forward to every morning when I wake up. A, I'm in my car for 3 to 4 hours per day, and as a typical American, that means I'm constantly hungry and slightly overweight.
Absolutely.
And B, I have a 2-year-old daughter that loves Freedom Fries.
Go America!
America! F yeah! So, you know, the open ketchup cups are great for dipping when you get those through the drive-thru, but get messy when the kiddo accidentally drops it in the seat next to her. So the packets, well, just try to rip one open with your teeth while speeding down I-75 and controlling the explosion. It's not a pretty sight. Thankfully, Heinz has created a new ketchup packet that incorporates both a tooth-friendly twist-off top for squeezing and a peel-away portion at the bottom for dipping. Now, I just need to protect my steering wheel from all of the inevitable layers of salt and grease and my arteries from the upcoming heart attack, and I should be fine.
That about says it all. But look, it's the best of both worlds, squeezing and dipping.
When are they going to make
do you know what I find
eating
even better,
and driving
though?
Illegal?
Yeah, it's maybe not eating and driving. That's even better than this.
But
I saw a commercial one time where they made like a French fry holder that went in your door panel. And it's just, come on, you should be driving, not
yeah.
eating French fries.
Well, what it needs is a heat lamp on the French fry holder to keep them warm while driving.
That's only on
come
the
with
Audis.
Come with one of those Pizza Hut delivery bags that's it's like plugs in and keeps the pizza warm while they're driving to you.
Exactly.
Fancy. But
or
there,
you could just do what I do and just fry the fries directly in the vehicle with a big vat.
You've got the Fry Mama, I think it's called. It's a smaller
yes.
version. Yeah.
Get that thing that they had on Arrested Development that was illegal.
Which would be what?
It was a fryer that was only kind of legal in Mexico because everybody who ever touched it got like third-degree burns.
Oh, I think I remember that episode.
Yeah, right. It was a good one.
Well, Jeff, you've got our next story. What is going on? I see Back to the Future in the first line. I'm
yes.
hooked.
Well, as a huge Back to the Future fan, one of my favorite things about futuristic movies are usually the cars. And in the case of the 2004 movie I, Robot, this was definitely the case when it came to the lead car. It was called an Audi RSQ that looked very similar to what we now know as the R8. Well, according to Jalopnik, one of its readers saw a scaled-down fiberglass prop car version of the RSQ sitting on a salvage barge in Canada, which is also where the movie was filmed. And after doing some digging, Jalopnik learned that a salvage company had found the car abandoned on the outskirts of Vancouver, and they added it to their collection of floating scrap. Fans of movie cars or just cool-looking junk will definitely want to take note, since the article says that the salvage company is willing to part ways with the car if the price is right.
Come on down. The showcase showdown.
When money was flowing so plentifully, they could just throw away those kinds of auctionable items.
I know. How cool would it have been just driving through Vancouver and seeing that thing on the side of the road?
You could it could have a built-in poutine holder.
And those ketchup packets come back to haunt us.
Oh, dear. I think that's going to be a theme this week. Twist off and dippable or something. Christian, trikes, NASA, yeah. Engineers, rockets.
After being laid off once the space shuttle program ended earlier this year, NASA engineers program. Thank you. I almost mispronounced it. I did mispronounce it. You corrected me. I appreciate that, Craig. Anyway. Once the space shuttle program ended earlier this year, a group of NASA engineers founded their own company building rocket-inspired tricycles. The vehicles are powered by the 3.5-liter V6 out of the Chrysler 300 and can go 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds. Mm-hmm. They're made from a whole host of composite and lightweight materials and look like three-wheeled hot rods, complete with a body kit and everything around the trike. The biggest benefit from these, however, comes from the fact that rocket scientists won't seem quite as nerdy.
Why? I got a question for you. Of all the engines on the market, why did they pick the Iacocca era 3.5 V6 from Chrysler?
It was the same engine used in the Plymouth Prowler, so yes. That was cool.
Probably because they could get them at a bulk rate, I'm guessing.
You know, like at Walmart?
Just... Like they found them next to that RSQ model in Vancouver on the side of the road.
Made in Oshawa.
I would imagine they came from the bulky section of a store. You could scoop them out and bag them. Engines. Anyway. Moving
engines
along.
By the pound.
Say again?
Engines by the pound.
Exactly.
Dally, what do you think of the design of this thing?
I actually think it's kind of ugly.
I agree.
There's so much to say. But I think the face of the dude driving it kind of says it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say it's rocket ship-like. For some reason, it looks like, I don't know, it reminds me of like a Tyrannosaurus or something. I don't know why. It's like kind of got a beak. I don't know. It just doesn't
It just
look
reminds
right.
me of those really crappy cars that you see show up at the drag strip on Friday night when it's amateur hour and like the people who like spent no money on their car. And it looks like it.
They're not. They don't have the refined tastes of a BMW driver.
Yeah, they should get on that.
Oh, dear. Well, keeping things moving. Anyone else feeling a safety vibe from me tonight? Well, get a load of this. Ford is in hot water with NHTSA again. And no, I'm not talking about spontaneously combusting cruise control systems or Firestone tires. This time, it's something else. According to Rupert Murdoch and Company at the Wall Street Journal,
that's reliable.
Yes, of course.
They're the emblem of good journalism.
They're listening to us right now.
Are they? Quiet. Something about a merger. Oh, I've said too much.
No, they just hacked your phone to listen. That's all.
That's funny right there. Anyway, according to Rupert Murdoch and Company at the Wall Street Journal, the Blue Oval is under investigation for issues with its jacks. No, not NASA or Telnac. I'm talking about those godforsaken, knuckle-busting contraptions that can barely prop up your vehicle during an emergency tire change. It seems the Ford Freestar and its even less popular sister model, the Mercury Monterey, are being probed and cavity searched by the feds over complaints about collapsing jacks. It's reported that the Office of Defects Investigation, I guess that's a real thing, has received 5 complaints on the issue so far. And in one case, a person died while working under a vehicle. Never mind that every one of these jacks I've ever seen explicitly warns the user not to crawl under the vehicle, but instead to properly support it while making repairs.
Duh.
So it must be Ford's fault.
Never the idiot who crawled under there.
Yeah.
And by the way, who came up with this D-list movie prop sounding Office of Defects Investigation?
I don't know. I'm not certain. Maybe Rupert Murdoch himself.
Yeah, it could be.
Anyway, the inquiry affects some 205,000 vehicles from the 2004 and 2005 model years, and all I can say is they sold that many Freestars and Monterey's. I mean,
they're having a hard time with their minivan lately. The Windstar had the snapping rear axle. Well, the Aerostar was
since the inception of the minivan from Ford. Then I would agree.
The Aerostar was fun.
What was fun about the Aerostar besides crippling depression?
Shooting it? I don't know.
As a kid, riding in the back was pretty cool.
How?
Because you could get somewhere and get out of it, right?
Right. But I'm talking more problematic, where the Windstar just had that snapping rear axle.
Yeah.
Or the transmission that would fail every 10,000 miles.
Oh, the A4NX automatic, I think it was. Yeah, sequentially exploding.
I think we went through three of them before we hit 60,000 miles.
Three?
Yes.
Well, it's not as bad as the Chrysler three-speed or four-speed, mm-hmm. the ratcheting one.
Ratcheting? What would...
It made that ratcheting noise.
Is that what was that, Jeff? I hear that all the time. I can never figure it out.
I don't know, but my mom had the wood panel. I think it was a 92 Grand Caravan. Hmm. And that was the first car I got to drive when I had my driver's license. And the transmission failed. And she blamed it on me.
Of course.
Likely.
And then years later, I found out that it was a Chrysler thing. So I sued Chrysler for negligent slander and libel.
And how's that court case going for you?
I got swept under the rug with the
bailout. The
bankruptcy. Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
You at least get to shove that one in your mom's face. See, I didn't do it.
Yep. I've proven myself right.
So Winston, yeah, they all suck. How about that?
They do. True.
So Corvette Camaro mashup.
Yes. Let me throw these out here. Abbott and Costello.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
McCain and Payne. Wait, maybe not that one. Regardless, there are many things that go together and that go together really well in combination. Corvettes, Camaros, and pickup trucks could be one of those combinations. If you propose to your wife while cruising Gratiot at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday night, this ultimate three-way on a freeway combines. Yeah.
I think we have a title.
Well, if you look at the picture, they combine like the best pieces of several GM's vehicles in a complete Frankenstein-like monstrosity, while at the same time offending, well, everyone. Someone eventually had to make this thing. Just be glad it wasn't you.
Three-way on a freeway. Love it.
Next story. I don't even want to talk about this one.
This Corvette about it. I don't even see. The Corvette looks like an S10 with the worst body kit in the world.
It's flaring its nostrils, the front, for sure.
It looks like one of those Japanese vans with the giant fins on them.
Oh, and all the kids go underneath the tonneau cover instead of sitting on it. Yeah.
Oh, there's the Corvette.
Kids under the tonneau cover there.
Well, it's a truck. It ought to hold more. 78 or something, you know?
This would look perfect pulled up next to that NASA car.
It might make the NASA car look better.
It might.
They would both look good under a dump truck.
Yes. Also true.
Or on a barge, let's say.
Instead of some other much cooler car.
Like a Ford Focus.
Well, speaking of cool, we have an old retro trend, Jeff, that could be making a comeback. Or not. Why don't you tell us some more?
Oh, Craig.
Look at you getting all sly. Fender skirts might be a great way to make an old Lincoln Continental look good or make a first-gen Honda Insight more aerodynamic, but according to an article on Automotive News, don't expect this design element to make a comeback anytime soon.
Thank God.
At least from General Motors.
Yes.
According to GM's global design chief, Ed Welburn, fender skirts aren't likely to return to future vehicle designs, mostly because they add to a car's total cost and compromise the tire size.
Oh, that's the reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're butt ugly.
Some color commentary tonight.
And they kill sales.
They kill infants in their sleep, too, probably, right? They're just guilty of all crimes.
Well, according to this article also, Welburn mentioned that fender skirts can also cause tire pressures to increase, which I can only assume is a result of the enclosed wheel opening. But what this also means is that if the Buick Roadmaster ever returns to production, it will not have fender skirts, which makes me sad.
The Roadmaster returning to production?
I think a new Roadmaster would be pretty badass.
What's wrong with a stately, larger automobile with comfortable back seats and a smooth ride? Maybe even V8 power for good low-end torque.
Crickets. Crickets.
I want that pillow-tufted seat to come back where they had the buttons.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And the lack of headrests. I miss those days.
Well, it doesn't look like they did come up with a solution for the rear tire size issue because the tire's going to explode anyway, so it doesn't really matter how big it is.
And the skirt contains it, too, when it blows.
Right. So nobody's going to get hurt.
You see
it's
those semi
a safety thing.
Exactly.
But don't bother trying to change it because apparently your jack will collapse.
Well, you'd have to take the skirt off too if it extended all the way down, and how do you do that? Difficult.
So many
take
don't
it
know
off.
How to take.
Yes,
Craig has no clue how to take skirts off.
Good. Thank you, Ben.
You beat me to that joke. Yeah. I was on that path as well.
I was really trying to come up with one, but
well, pip to the post, Christian.
Yes. Well, sometimes one horn does not adequately express one's frustration and rage at stupid drivers. Luckily, a man bitten with the DIY bug has rigged up a cheap solution. Using a set of air horns that he has mounted under the hood and switches in the console, he's able to emulate up to 4 different cars at once. It's pretty neat, but if you're really that frustrated, you should probably just save your money and take after my great uncle by putting an axe in the guy's radiator.
Oh, is this a blow-up-the-courthouse type story? Do tell,
Can
Christian.
He be the new Zach Bowman?
I think he's from the South.
It's pretty simple. He was sitting at a traffic light. He was the first in line at a red light. Light turns green, and the second it does, the guy behind him leans on the horn. So my great-uncle, very relaxed and slowly, turns off the car after putting it in park and gets out and walks to his trunk and opens it and pulls out a fire axe and swings it straight into the guy's radiator, gets back in his car, and drives away.
By then, the light was green again. So,
right. And left the guy in a steaming pile of rage.
Steaming pile of... Wow. That is awesome.
That he did it. Exactly.
That was back
twice
in the days.
In one episode. Wow.
And what's even better, he's from New Hampshire, so that doesn't even apply.
Oh.
Hmm. Well, that's too... Well, it applied because we wanted it to.
Okay.
That's what we do on Roundabout. If you don't like it, we force it on you. And,
that wasn't a level up, was it?
No, on Roundabout, no doesn't
that was
mean
the,
no.
That was the opposite of a level up.
It means ask nicely.
It's the Oregon Trail fail.
Yes. Oh, right.
So on that note, it's time to take a quick break.
Oh, thank God.
But fear not, Christian Conover from the Wheelspin Network, Double D Dalibor Domovsky from SideQuesting.com, and Autobytel's own Jeffersonian Institution will keep this information buffet well stocked. But save room for dessert because we've got an auto gadget coming your way in another installment of Roundabout Rearview.
Tastes like circuit boards.
No, what would be the dessert equivalent of auto gadget? Any take? Would it be a cheese Danish?
What about one of those lollipops that they sell them like in that thing that spins it in your mouth so you don't actually have to twist it yourself? No.
Okay.
That works.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that, I, you know, I'm
why
buying,
not?
I'm buying. I could see those on a buffet, like a Chinese buffet.
Why are we back on the buffet?
Well, right next to the stale like crackers.
I'm
and
I'm hungry.
Anyway.
Yeah. This isn't fair.
So
the wonton soup minus wontons.
I want to go to all country buffet now. Thanks, Craig.
Could you have a Spanish themed wonton soup? J-U-A-N. Wonton.
That's, the wonton soup episode. All right.
Let me mark that on my list here.
Yep.
Wonton soup.
That's worth noting.
All right.
Now I have two titles. Good.
Yes. Well, we could do a subtitle.
It would be a criminal buffet and it'd be a wonton soup.
Oh,
that was forced.
Well, let me do the ad here,
a
guys.
For effort.
Got to get through this. So visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, and click on the Advance Auto Parts link on the right-hand sidebar of the page, and that is your ticket to major savings.
Indeed.
He's not a general in the Army, either.
Not Colonel Savings.
I say.
We have a colonel already.
We do, and
it's
we can't replace
Penny Money.
So, very special, very exclusive offer. If you go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, follow the link in the sidebar, and you order some parts from Advance Auto, you can save $10 off an order of $30. You can take $20 off an order of $50 and slash $30 right off the top of an order of $100 or more. That's nearly a 33% savings.
Cue sword sound effect.
Buy stuff now!
I like this man. He knows what he's talking about, Ben. That's why we keep him around. So, very exclusive offer. The only way to get these savings to go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, and you'll have to enter the promo code as you check out. And again, that is listed on our website. But this is a great way to save. I've taken advantage of it. Ben, your dad has used it many times. Mm-hmm. Jeff,
we've heard from a lot of happy folks, mm-hmm. you know, viewers of the show, listeners of the show.
But I also see that you should do it quick because does this really expire next week?
Well, technically, yes. So far, they've always renewed it, but I don't know if they will renew. We don't know till we get that email right around the beginning of October. Mm-hmm. But yes, so far,
you better jump on it. You better get onto it here. So, but just sweetening the pie a little bit here with a little Splenda. If your order exceeds $75 greenbacks, you're eligible for free shipping. So you can have the stuff delivered right to your home at no charge. Or, of course, you can always pick it up in store if you prefer to meet with the friendly folks at Advance.
That's my favorite thing. When I do stuff, I order it online and then I have it shipped to the Advance Auto, which is like right down the street. So it's almost like shipping to my house.
Wow. You could ship it to your house.
Except it's not.
Yeah. But so... It's also free. I don't have to pay for shipping.
That's great. You get there. It's already there. You could say it's ready in advance.
Exactly. It's there. No waiting in line. Then you've got your little receipt. You walk up there. Bam. You put it on the counter, and the guy's like, coming right up.
Give me my gaskets.
Coming right up, Mr. Ross.
Gasket me.
So, yes. One more time. That is roundaboutshow.com. Click on the Advance Auto Parts link to save some big bucks. 10 off 30, 20 off 50, or 30 off 100. We do appreciate it.
It's a steal.
Which reminds me, I have to take a water pump back. I have a $1 core charge on it.
One? Why even bother? It's a dollar? That's ridiculous.
That was the silliest core charge ever.
Yeah, we need the scrap value back, so we're going to put a core on there of a dollar. So, anyway, thank you, Advance. Thank you for going there, fans. We appreciate it. Moving along, it is time for our roundabout rear view, which is, if you're not familiar, a misty-eyed look at things from the past.
When I go a motoring in my old jalopy,
feel free to sing along.
All our picnic.
Those Joes sure were sloppy. But more than anything, I can't forget you. Here's another edition of Roundabout Rear View.
And many more.
So there you go. We're taking a look at things from the past. We are an eclectic bit of a podcast. Or at least I am. So I believe, Ben, you found this article from The CNET.
Mm-hmm.
There's an audiophilic. Audiophiliac.
Careful. That's not how that's said. Let's try again.
No. Let's try. Let's take that back.
Audiophile.
Filiac, maybe? Let's try that.
Celiac disease. The poor guy can't eat grain.
I think it's pronounced audiophiliac.
What about pahiliac? Anyway, apparently they used to offer record players in cars back in the day.
Apparently.
I was not aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Were any of you folks aware of that? Not the audience panel.
I knew they made them. I've never seen one, I don't think.
Well, of all of them that you've listened to, Jeff, did they sound good or?
I don't know. I've never listened to a record.
Okay. All right.
Wait, you've never listened to a record?
Well, I mean, I've never played a record. I'm sure I listened to them. That's what they do in the radio. And then they do wicka, wicka, wicka.
Yeah, that's not the record you're thinking
scratching.
Of.
Yeah. Word.
Are you saying your parents like never had like an old record player growing up?
They did, but it was busted.
Wow.
I grew up in the streets of Detroit.
Actually,
I stole my records.
And then they broke them.
Yeah. So, I'd take it from a little kid, snap it in half, be like, yo, there's your 45.
What? Wow, Gangsta Ross here.
And then you take out yours.
Oh, Onyx. Wow.
Careful,
wow.
That gangster might have warrants out.
Yes, well, anyway, so I don't even know what to say. Columbia Records introduced a 7-inch, 16 2/3 RPM record for automotive use. And it was a colossal failure because there were only 36 titles available at launch. Wow.
So it's like a laser disc?
I guess. It was a laser fail with a stylus.
Sounds like the Nintendo 3DS to me.
Yeah, well. So, yeah, eventually they did have 42 titles by 1956, but obviously this proprietary format failed. And that's truly the story of proprietary, isn't it, Ben?
That it fails?
Yes.
Always, 100%.
Generally.
Mm. Oh, God, really? Are we going to do this?
What are you suggesting, Christian?
I'm suggesting don't get him going on his Apple fanboyism, that's all.
Oh,
don't worry.
I didn't even think that's what we were.
Relentlessly.
No.
So, well.
Do you guys think that CDs will ever go away in cars?
God, I hope so.
Yeah. It's almost there, isn't it?
They're almost done onto it. Yeah, I see you, Ben. Pointing at your Apple logo.
I wasn't even showing it on the broadcast.
What's it called when you're doing gang symbols with your hands?
Being an idiot?
Well, other than that.
Doing gang symbols.
No, there's a name for it.
Is there a gang symbol for an Apple?
Chat room.
Let's see.
Tagging or something? What is it called?
Yeah, it's this.
Well, we're on Ben right now, so I can't see.
It was the money.
Chat room. Mm-hmm. Gorski, see, you're from the rough side of town in Connecticut.
I think it's just wild gesturing while you're wearing a black turtleneck.
We'll call it gesticulating, but they do it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Well, it's magical.
So, record players in cars, failure. Colossal failure. I can't imagine they would even have tried this, given that records skip on a stable table.
Jeff's parents couldn't even make one work in a house.
Den.
He wasn't in an earthquake zone or anything, so how did they? I don't know.
Tragic.
I don't know.
In more modern news, we will step up now to our auto gadget segment.
Time for lollipops.
Huh?
With the spinning, it's a callback there.
Pay attention, Craig.
Where am I?
I'll get your pills.
Did anyone notice the photo credit on that picture was from Daimler Chrysler?
Oh. Yeah. UAW Daimler Chrysler.
Whoa.
National Training Center.
How do you like that?
Well, it was Steven Gutenberg that wrote that article, so.
Who?
So go, Craig, go.
Anyway, so modern stuff.
Yeah, well, Christian, you're a modern Renaissance man, aren't you?
I suppose.
You have a smart-equipped telephone.
I do. It is very smart, and a telephone.
Which particular varietal did you select? And on what network?
I have the robot-driven one.
Okay.
Oh, a winner.
On which network?
On the Big Red Network.
Vodafone, okay.
Yes.
So some flavor of droid on Verizon.
Yes, that's correct.
So you are ineligible to receive this particular application. So moving along to the artistic one of the group, Dolly, you must have a love affair with Apple products given your line of work. So
that's the general idea, yes.
I think
it's a prerequisite, actually.
Is it to be a
DB? You can't become a car designer if you don't have, if you're not adorned with Apple tattoos.
Okay, so your iPhone then.
Yes.
Have you tried out the cost to drive application yet?
Not this application, but there are similar ones, and I don't want to take up the time to open up the app and find it, but they're usually wrong.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you, how well do you like the cost to drive app?
that you haven't used.
It's fantastically wrong.
So, well,
I haven't used it.
What is the idea behind it then? You're going to it calculates how much it's going to cost for you to go on a road trip, right?
Correct. That's it calculates or any drive really, but it utilizes gas prices, which really aren't all that feasible, I guess you could say. One that I had used previously had estimated that it would take me about $45 to get to work on the other side of town. And so it didn't quite work. But
well, this one, I don't know how yours worked, but this one actually takes into consideration the make, model, and then the EPA estimated fuel economy, which obviously that can be a major sticking point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said, gas prices, I'm sure it takes into consideration speed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, kind of interesting.
It's an estimator, really.
Yes.
Takes in a variety of variables, plots your route out, and spits out a number. What's it going to cost you to drive from San Francisco to Los Angeles, for instance? And then you can determine if a flight would be cheaper.
Right.
So there you go.
Which is great because just below the indicator that tells you the price says, oh, by the way, you can get flights from Kayak for just that same price.
Right.
Curious. Ad supported.
It's not ad supported. It may have ads in it, but this app costs
$1.99. What?
So I don't know. That's why I don't have it. I haven't not tested it out.
Haven't not tested it. Okay, well,
basically, it's not that popular.
Yeah.
No.
Well, great. I'm glad we talked about this.
We just talked
then.
About it, gave it some free airtime.
Yeah, and for those who are interested in trying it for us.
I'm pretty sure Roundabout's not a charity, so let's move on. Unless you've got something compelling to say.
Before we move on, I do.
Yes,
I do.
Okay.
What's interesting is it doesn't list the stops along the way that you might need to make to fill up again, and the knowledge potentially that you could get cheaper gas somewhere, especially if you have a discount.
Mm. It'd
be nice if you could say, hey, I'm a Sam's Club member, or I'm a Kroger member. So, by the way, there's a Sam's Club along the way, or a Costco. You can get your gas for 10 cents off, which means that price goes down or goes up or whatever. So,
although it does tell you
– it's early.
It does take into consideration the size of the gas tank, so it does calculate how many times you'd have to fill up. So the example they use in this article from CNET is that a Smart Fortuna VW Jetta TDI get similar fuel economy, but you would have to stop for fuel twice as often in the Smart compared to the VW. So I think that's clever. I don't know if it could actually work.
Ben,
yes, Craig.
Does it take into account the weight of the fuel? The further you drive, the less fuel is on board, the less the car is going to weigh.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Well, we can't verify that, but we're going to go ahead and tentatively say it's available.
Good.
How about the number of fins on your car?
Oh,
or if you have fender skirts.
Good point. Good point.
Very good point. Very good point. Well, moving along, we're going to try a brand new segment here. It's an amazing new segment, in fact.
It is.
And it is called.
Amazing.
It's called. Ready? We're going to do this live.
What do we have to say again? Oh, that's right.
This. 3. Two, one.
Lie of the beholder.
That was Lie of the Beholder.
Yes. That's a new segment we're doing here, Roundabout. New segment Ben came up with, no less.
Oh.
Pshaw, Craig, pshaw. So, okay, Christian, you're in on this segment.
I am in on this.
We're going to let Christian spearhead this one.
This is his infant. He's going to nurse.
All right. So here's how this works. I'm going to read a description that was published in a press release from a manufacturer about their car. And then the panelists have to guess which car I'm talking about.
Craig, you want a quiet...
I'm sorry, Gorski commented in the chat. Gorski commented in the chat, that was terrible. Just
Mud says it was sad, so...
The terrible one got me. Sorry.
So, Ben, I'm just going to assume here that in this press release, the part where it actually says the name of the car, I should just not read that?
No, well... I have stealthily replaced the name of the car. So this first one in the list is the 2012 Berkshire Grand Tourer, which of course doesn't exist. So we're going to ask you to figure out what the Berkshire Grand Tourer really is. So go ahead and read it with the name in there.
All right. So with the 2012 Berkshire Grand Tourer, let's try this. The 2012 Berkshire Grand Tourer sedan delivers exceptional value without compromise. With a sophisticated design, high-quality craftsmanship, technology that keeps passengers entertained and connected, the peace of mind having every available safety feature as a standard equipment, and a choice of powertrains that offer excellent fuel economy and exceptional power, drivers and passengers will not only enjoy the drive, but look forward to it. The 2012 Berkshire Grand Tourer is an exciting alternative for customers that want style and substance, all at a surprising value.
So before we go on...
Okay.
Any thoughts so far?
Flowery, in fact. And
any guesses?
I have a few
Chevy
things
Cruze.
I'm mulling.
They really emphasize passengers, so I'm going to say probably a little bit bigger vehicle. I'm going to go with Kia Optima.
All right. So Jefferson Ross, we're going to just do Jeff. In the rundown, you guessed Chevy Cruze, C-R-U-Z-E. And then Dolly, you guessed Kia Optima.
And of course, we're not done yet. You can still keep guessing here.
I am guessing something a lot. Like you said, Dolly, it was emphasizing the passenger comfort. So I imagine this vehicle would be the Ford Econoline Club Wagon.
It's making a comeback.
I think that
do
would
I get to guess as well?
The EcoBoost.
Does Christian get to guess?
I'm afraid not, because he has the answer key.
I do?
Yeah, at the bottom of each press release.
What do you know?
Oh, yeah.
It says answer.
Well, now I know.
So
knowing is half the battle.
So I should continue then.
Yes. Give us more clues, please.
Okay. Quote, the 2012 Berkshire Grand Tour sedan symbolizes the never say die spirit of this city, this company, and this country, said Chad Fleetley, head Berkshire brand, Berkshire Company Incorporated. He continues, it is proof that a well-made, luxurious American midsize sedan not only exists, but hails from a place where hard work and style have been a hallmark for generations. Born from the belief that luxury is for anyone who deserves it, the Berkshire Grand Tourer offers the best value in its class. End quote.
So it's American now.
American.
Or is it?
Well, are these current vehicles, or are these a little bit older?
No, these are definitely current vehicles.
So available in dealership
now. I'll give that away, yes. You could buy this today.
A used Dodge Stratus.
No, on
1998.
Sale. I drive a Dodge Stratus.
They are on sale. Low prices.
This is a new car. You can buy this
Chrysler new. Chrysler 200.
Ooh. You think the Chrysler 200. Okay.
American Crabs personship.
All right.
You know what? I will also say 200 because they do mention the city, and of course we know Chrysler is big on the city. You know what? You can say the 200. I'm going to say the Dodge variant. The
Avenger.
I was going to say the Cadillac DTS,
ooh.
But I think I'll have to go with the Chrysler 300.
Oh.
So all right.
Because I was just kidding about the whole DTS thing.
It's
I don't think they even have press releases for that anymore. They probably...
Ben, right. Should I continue, or
yes. Is there another?
Yeah, let's go ahead and continue. Now we'll give away a few more details, so we're going to get closer to the answer here. Go ahead, Christian.
Like new for 2012, the Berkshire Grand Tour sedan sports two new exterior colors: crystal blue pearl coat and deep auburn, as well as new lower entry level pricing. The 2012 Berkshire Grand Tour has a starting U.S. manufacturer's suggested retail price, or MSRP, of $18,995, excluding $750 destination.
Mercury Topaz.
Thoughts? Does that seal the deal for anyone?
It seals a deal for me.
Yeah.
So you think it's the Avenger? You're sticking with that?
No, I'm going to go towards the Chrysler 300, actually.
The 300? Or 200?
I'm going to say 300.
Okay.
I go back to 200. Mm.
300 for Dalibor, and
went up a level.
200.
Level up.
Level up. Ta-ching!
All right. So we got, that's three rounds. Are there any more, Ben?
Yeah. So
another one?
Yep. Let's keep going.
Oh, I thought there were more.
Should
separate
we?
Vehicles.
We do have separate vehicles, but let's continue on. We're going to talk about the design now. Christian, what do we think about the design here?
Well, Ben, the 2012 Berkshire Grand Tour exterior design highlights a sculpted front fascia, clean surfaces, and sleek lines. Distinctive features like the Berkshire brand grille with the signature Berkshire winged badge, LED accent light pipe above the headlamps, projector fog lamps, and LED tail lamps round out the vehicle, resulting in a design that's elegant and refined.
Toyota
Camry now, huh?
I got it. It's the Eagle Talon.
No, it's the wagon version.
It's a Bentley.
Definitely the 200.
The winged badge. It gave it away.
Yeah.
Well, let's just go. We'll go ahead and we'll do the final.
Should we finish it?
Yeah. Let's talk about the interior here.
Let's talk about the interior.
Let's.
The beautifully crafted interior wraps the driver and passengers in a level of quality materials, craftsmanship, and content that is world class. Comfortable seating, soft touch armrests, and instrument panel and premium interior finishes for touch points are not only pleasing to the touch, but also to the eye.
I'm surprised those touch points are pleasing to the touch and not the taste.
Why would the touch points have to be pleasing to the eye?
They just look comfortable, I guess.
They invite you to touch them.
I like the new Chrysler steering wheels, by the way. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. You are a Mopar fanatic.
All right, let's
do it. So we're at the end of the list. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, let's do a quick final vote. Craig?
It's between the 200 Craig, and the Econoline.
Call it, Craig. Call it.
Econoline.
It's the Econoline. Okay, Dolly?
Back down to the 200.
And Jeff?
Y'all knew Chrysler 100.
It's a rental version of the 200.
It's the Caliber.
Yes.
And Christian, what is the answer?
Ben, the answer is the Chrysler 200.
Ding, ding, ding. All right.
Hey.
Round two.
Ding, ding.
Get ready.
1 second. Okay. The 2011 BLT 749X fuses the best qualities of a sports car, including a sporty driving position, dynamic handling, and powerful turbo engine, with the best aspects of an SUV, such as a robust lower body, raised ground height, improved visibility, confident stance, and available all-wheel drive. These qualities come together in a uniquely BLT way with value, quality, safety, and driving pleasure. And Ben, without even looking at the answer, because I haven't yet, I probably have a guess as to what we're talking about.
G-Wagon.
Okay, what's your guess, Christian?
I'm going to go
Mitsubishi Montero. Sport.
Well, based on... I was actually going to say the BMW X6.
Okay. Craig, your thoughts?
Mitsu.
It's a Mitsu?
Mm.
Mitsu what?
Mitsubishi.
now we know.
Well, we already know they don't have any new products, so it's not them.
Mitsubishi Ooh. Outlandish. That's my guess.
All right.
Jeff?
I think it's the Kia Sportage.
Oh, good guess.
Mm.
And Dolly?
I'm going to go with the Santa Fe.
Okay. Christian, read on.
749X's aggressive styling brings a breath of fresh air to the segment. Built on BLT's proven Global B platform, 749X features a powerful front-end treatment with the turn signals integrated into the front fenders, a high belt line, and coupe-like falling roofline. Other exterior details include body-colored outside mirrors and front door handles and hidden rear door handles.
I know it.
Go ahead, Jeff.
It's the Nissan Juke.
Oh.
All right, we'll put you down for that. Craig, your thoughts?
Nissan Xterra had the hidden handles.
And the steps in the rear fascia.
Yeah, duh.
Christian, you still guessing? Or did you peek?
No, I've gone too far down. I can't guess.
Okay. Any. Dolly?
I'm going to say Nissan Juke as well, actually.
Okay. All right.
Missing rear handles kind of gave it away to me.
Oh, okay. Christian, read on.
Should I continue? Okay.
Let's.
749X also offers generous ground clearance with standard 17-inch wheels and tires. Adding to the authentic SUV look is a broad shoulder line, large wheel arches, and robust lower body work that seems to emerge from under the vehicle. Above the waistline, 749X shows its sporty side with a raked windshield, upswept rear side windows, and canopy-like glass. The lights also reflect 749X's sporty agility, with the front lights split into two distinct elements, with the main lamps drawing inspiration from rally car lights. Fog lights are available, depending on trim level. In the rear, the taillights share a resemblance with the distinctive boomerang design found on the latest generation BLT 362B. The 749X color palette includes a range of 8 exterior offerings.
Wow.
Okay.
What are you guys thinking?
Mm. Let's hear about the motorcycle center console.
Are we thinking Nissan Juke?
I am no longer thinking Nissan Juke.
Okay. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go with the Volvo. What is that? The SUV.
Is it the C
something?
XC60?
XC60.
That's okay. It.
All right. Jeff, sounds like you're still convinced that it's a Juke.
Yeah, I mean, that 362B, I mean, that was a dead giveaway. I've loved that car, you know, since the 355.
Oh, good.
Well played, sir.
Craig, your
thoughts? Well, if you love the 355B, you'll love the 749X interior, which is equally aggressive with bolstered front seats, a wide instrument panel, and a unique center console inspired by a motorcycle fuel tank and finished in a high-gloss paint. The gear shift sits on top of the console, inspired by sports car driver slash shifter positioning.
Of the Mark D.
Right?
Craig, we're going to start with you.
Whoops. I predict, whoops, the Mercer X4 RTI.
Mm-hmm. What?
Okay. Dolly.
That's ignore.
God, I want to not say Nissan Juke because I think that may be the ugliest vehicle I've ever seen and ever will be. So I'll go with the Pontiac Aztec.
Okay. All right.
That's better looking than the Juke.
Yes.
Well, what is our answer here, Christian? Do we have another round, or is
Craig,
this the...
Your answer is the Nissan Juke.
Ding, ding, ding!
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
And Jim and Bob Hall say,
ooh.
See, I was going to say, I like everything that BLT does, especially the lettuce and tomato.
Exactly.
Yeah, they make a good sandwich.
But the bacon is too thick. It doesn't get crispy.
Yeah, that's
There's
the
no
problem.
Such thing as...
Well, it's never good for somebody who lives off of non-nutritive spittle to eat that kind of bacon.
Nah, we worked non-nutritive spittle in.
Yes, it happened.
Write
now
it down.
Now it's intended for the title.
Oh, chat room had a good suggestion. Who was it here? Ms. Motormouth, actually.
Oh, I've
she
heard of her.
She was suggesting the Nissan Velostomy. Veloster. Hyundai.
Not bad. All right.
We have more car to do. So,
a third and final round.
More car.
Velostomy is in there.
All right. So go ahead, Christian.
I will do that, Ben. One look is all it takes to see that the new 2011 Tonandro Cordry conveys a new level of assertiveness, underscoring the unique personality of this multi-talented vehicle. The completely redesigned front end completely transforms its overall appearance, taking its inspiration from Tonando sedans and SUV models. Alongside its fresh exterior, the inner values of the redesigned 2011 Cordry also speak for themselves. These include the spaciousness of a luxury SUV, as well as the safety, style, and exclusivity of a Tonando sedan. At the same time, the latest generation offers the interior versatility central to the Cordry vehicle concept, while also delivering the all-weather confidence of all-wheel drive as standard, U.S. models only. Look what happened when you made this crazy title. I stumbled over everything.
All right. Thoughts? We'll start with Jeff.
Volvo XC60.
Oh, so you're going for that one now.
All right, Dalibor.
Well, I will trade you the XC60 for the Toyota Venza.
Oh.
All right. Craig?
Craig will raise you the Cadillac Brougham.
Craig.
Still making stuff up here.
Craig. Play nice.
Why don't you make a real guess?
That is my guess, Ben.
That's sold today?
Not even. It's, now you're just being a...
Just say right. Acura ZDX is your favorite.
The chat room's even giving you suggestions.
Okay, let me go. Chat room, who are you saying? Cadillac Alltrack? You know what? You know what, Gorski? You're right. It's Oldsmobile Bravada. I'm going to go. Okay, you want to... Okay, here you go. Infiniti EX. Now get off me.
Get off me, dog.
God. Well, let me see if I can help you here, Craig.
Yeah, good luck.
If there was a versatility test for automotive interiors, the Cordry would surely be at the top contender for first place. The seating variants in particular offer a wide range of possibilities. The Cordry was designed with a focus on comfort and security and with relaxed and safe travel in mind. Long wheelbase versions, short wheelbase not offered in the U.S., offer seating for six people in the standard layout. 5, 6, and 7 seat configurations are also available. U.S. models offer standard seating for 6 with 7 passenger seating optional. Standard equipment includes partially power-operated seats for the driver and front seat passenger. Active ventilated and heated multi-contour seats with full power adjustment and memory function are available as an option. Special order in the U.S. for front seat occupants. Apparently, Tonando does not know how to space words out.
Space?
They don't know how to write for radio. That's the problem.
Yeah, they don't, and they don't know how to find the space bar.
It's the Affinity QX. Final answer.
You think that? Mm-hmm. Affinity QX?
Affinity.
Baja Busta in the Baja Busta in the chat says Audi Q7.
Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Dolly, your thoughts?
You know that Infiniti sounds really good. I'll piggyback on that Infiniti.
All right. Jeff?
See, with the multi-contour seats, I'm going with the Mercedes R-Class.
All right. Another, a very good choice, I might say, but wrong.
Well, let's see. Because the Cordry delivers a further benefit in the shape of its large, versatile luggage compartment. The short wheelbase version, not available in the U.S., has a luggage capacity of up to 1,950 liters, while the long wheelbase version offers a maximum of 84 cubic feet or 2,385 liters. All five-seat variants come with a separate load compartment beneath the floor of the main luggage area. The optional power liftgate, controlled remotely from either switch or key fob, facilitates easy entry into the cargo area. This makes the Cordry the most versatile and spacious vehicle in the entire Tenando passenger vehicle lineup.
Is it the Freestar? I think it's the Freestar. You talked about massaging seats, didn't you, Christian?
I might have.
And ventilated seats.
Well, that's you got the massage from the 3.8 liter V6 that vibrates like a coffee grinder. There you go.
Something tells me that with a reference to literage pretty heavily, that's not an American car.
The Freestar was built in Canada. Great. Touché.
Jeff, what do you think?
This is a toughie. Because the R-Class, I don't think anything in a Mercedes is different wheelbases.
Oh, well, and Baja Busta pointed out a mistake I made in the pronunciation. It should have been different wheelbases.
Oh, whoa.
Does that help you, Jeff?
Yes, it does. The wheelbase was actually a Nissan thing. So I might have to go with Nissan Quest now. I don't know.
What about the Side Quest?
The Side Quest says I'm going to flip a coin on this one and just go with the I'll go back to the Venza.
Okay.
I know there's no different wheelbases, but
Toyota.
Yeah, the wheelbase thing is really getting me. Yeah.
What has a variable wheelbase?
Well,
usually
it's
some sort of
right.
truck.
Could I can be? Tell you that because we're at the end of the press release.
Well, how
Play
about
it on us.
Ford 150?
The answer is the Mercedes-Benz R-Class.
Oh!
So close.
So close, Jeff.
He said R-Class.
He did say R-Class, but then he flip-flopped.
He's a John Kerry.
That's right.
Man. Look at you.
I made a reference.
Right. Ding, ding, ding.
Variable wheelbase.
So that was... We're not doing it again.
Oh, that was... Ready, Craig?
What do we say?
Life of the Beholder!
You work on that.
Sort of like Eye of the Tiger, but Lie of the Beholder. Never mind.
Or Lie of the Tiger, because you were saying rounds, and rounds allude to boxing, which is Rocky.
Good point.
And Eye of the
Good point.
Rename it Lie of the Tiger.
Lie of the Tiger. Okay.
Lie of the Tiger.
You could probably even
slice that. Lie of the Tiger.
Rising up, back on the street.
Sing it, Craig.
Took my time, took my
chances. So what do we have, Ben, in terms of winners?
Craig, you've been keeping
anybody
score. Win?
All losers.
We all lost because we're all on roundabout. Take your meds and go to sleep. No, we had Chrysler Jefferson Ross Bot 2000 would have taken the first round with his Chrysler 200 guess.
He's pretty happy about that, as you can see.
Craig also had the 200.
Well, Craig waffled and went with the Mercury Topaz. So Craig did not
Jeff
win.
Had like three different answers. So
yes.
Are we just... Is it final answer or is it what you thought of at any point during the round?
I think it's during the round.
No.
Because then these are
It's got to be final answer.
I think it's final answer. What
Otherwise, hell? What's the point? You could just guess everything all the time.
Exactly. It's the automotive equivalent of the Hail Mary.
All right. So.
You could just read like an auctioneer down the list of every car and manufacturer and
all right. So.
You're going to hit it at some point.
To avoid hanging chads, Jeff, you took home round one. Round two was the Nissan Juke, which, Jeff, you also took home. Mm-hmm. So that's two wins for Jeff. And he is the winner.
Win, but
he was gnarly.
Should have stuck with our class, and I would have had a sweep.
Sweep. We'll give him 2.5.
Yeah, well, well, we're waiting on the Electoral College, so. Yeah.
The Electoral College.
We'll tell you next week. Maybe.
Yes, if we remember.
Too close to call.
We have a studio to report the show in.
That was a fun game.
That was fun. We should do that again.
Good. All right, good.
Save the Tiger.
I put that together at the very last minute, so I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, Ben came up with a good idea, and I applaud him for that for once.
Inability
to
read about the Tonondo Cordry.
Are you sure it's not Chowdhury, Indian?
Toronto Condry?
Quandry.
Yes. That should be the name of one in the future, the Toronto Quandry.
Quandry.
But you know what, guys? We got a show in the can.
Oh, thank God.
I think we got a show.
We're going to courtesy flush now.
I was going to say, I don't have a flush sound effect, so.
But, so
you
great.
Said flesh sound effect?
Yes.
That I may have.
Craig has plenty of those.
Hannibal Lecter.
Are we talking about skirts again, Craig?
Oh, okay. Well, that's news to me. Well,
take it off!
You know, she's not here, but it's like she is.
She's in the chat room, though. I'm sure she'll go wild.
Minutia.
If in doubt, just double something up.
It's like she never left.
Why is there a not Miss Motormouth app for the iPhone with just a soundboard?
There should be.
There ought to be.
I'm going to get on that.
I think we could charge
that's
99 cents
fundraiser.
For that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Why don't you just make the roundabout soundboard?
How do you like it?
I think that's a good idea.
Well, you stay tuned for episode 100.
Yeah.
There's some big news to announce coming up.
Big news?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard of this.
Everyone.
Yes.
Go ahead,
Baja Busta says, Ben, you is so creative.
I is so creative, Baja Busta. That nice.
Yes. Look at you.
Look at his hands. So here we go, guys. Great show. Good hustle. Great teamwork. That's what I like to see on these roundabouts.
That's a bargain.
That's a close for episode 98 here. Jefferson.
I love it.
Jefferson Ross from autobytel.com.
That's me.
That is
what,
you.
What are you been have working on lately?
The program.
Programs. Many a programs. I'm getting ready to drive the Land Rover Evoque. And some other cool stuff.
Smother.
I drove the Audi A7 last week. That was awesome.
When can we see reviews on these automobiles?
The A7's up now on Autobytel. The Range Rover should be up in a few weeks.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled for those.
Keep them peeled.
Peeled.
Ouch.
Very nice. Dalibor Domovsky.
That's me.
I'm the best.
Hi, everybody.
When are we going to do some more Mario Kart?
When are we going to do some more uncomfortable silence?
Mario between Kart. That statement.
More stuff.
That was an Octomom pause, we call it.
I forgot the name of it. I kept wanting to call it Wii Kart.
Wii Kart.
But that's what I called the ride when I was a little kid. It was my Wii Kart.
At Meijer, it's only a penny.
I did.
Well, we'll see.
I'm the best.
Dalibor Domovsky, sidequesting.
Yes, I am from there. There is I where I am from. we just relaunched sidequesting.com, so come take a look. And we have a new project coming up that's going to involve drunken car designers. So if you want to see a bunch of highfalutin car designers getting their egos knocked down, be sure to stick around. In the next month or so, we should have that project up.
Or if you're just in the mood for alcoholism.
Yeah, that is correct, too, because nothing was better together than cars and alcohol.
I would have to agree.
It's a law of nature.
I can't get through the show without it.
Well, there you go. So there you go. Dalibor Domovsky, thank you for joining us.
That earns a ROAB level up. Plus 20.
Christian Canover.
Yes, Craig. From the Wheelspin Network.
Our Dutch ally in Maryland.
Reporting from the field.
Exactly. How did you come? You've come so far from Holland.
Yes. It was, luckily they're already underwater. It was a swim away.
Just to swim across the North Atlantic.
Yeah.
Simple
quick
task.
Across the pond, you know.
Oh, yes. Did you take KLM?
I could.
Or Ryanair that doesn't service the U.S.
Sure.
So what are you doing at the Spin Network?
Well, besides pronouncing it the right way, we are still doing our BMW show, Roundel Table. Finishing up the coverage from Baltimore Grand Prix, which is taking a lot longer than it should have, but, you know, life gets in the way. But that's done very soon. Let's see, what else are we doing?
I see Roundabout. What's this Roundabout show?
There's this thing, it's, I don't know where it came from, but they keep spamming us, and
well, God bless them.
Oh, and our good friend Jonathan Brown, you remember him, leaves a message every week.
Mm.
He used to.
Not familiar.
He has a fine little program over at his website, crossedflags.com. It's a Corvette site, and they are launching a podcast, and we are launching it for them, or with them.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's what I
so
like to
you
see.
Can find that at wheelspin.tv as well in the very near future.
What was that site again?
Which one?
Wheelspin.
There you go.
Wheelspin.tv.
Okay.
Just go to Google, type in Wheelspin, and then click on the Wheelspin Network link, and you'll be fine.
Where do you have to go to search, though?
Where?
Where?
Yes. I can't do that to the word Google, so sorry.
Google.
Oh, God.
Google.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
A bunch of things going on over there. Corvette fans, stop by.
Very nice. Well, Ben, thank you for your efforts as well, getting the show done and edited.
No problem.
Post-haste. So good hustle.
Thank you.
Wrapping things up, don't miss your chance to win $100 by listening to Roundabout on your smartphone using Stitcher. Just go to stitcher.com/roundabout. Then, when you register your account, don't forget to enter the promo code Roundabout in one of our lucky...
It should be obvious. So yeah. Al Vinicor, Al Vinicor, previous guest.
Quinicor?
Yeah.
What is that, have a dinosaur?
He says,
duh.
Duh.
You should know that already.
Enter the promo
code
Roundabout.
We repeat anyway. Yes.
One of our lucky listeners will be entered to win $100 each and every month, and it could be you. Remember to watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30 on the West Coast. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline This Week, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily. And if you want your questions or comments addressed, you can always call the ROAB hotline at 1-559-ROAB-411. That's 1-559-762-2411. We would love to hear from you. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who doesn't, you can subscribe to this podcast, lovely podcast, if I might say, on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace or anywhere else fine programs can be found. And with
another
that,
drink.
And with that, we are rapidly losing our sobriety. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ooh.
Oh.
We're done. We're out of here.
Anybody like some chips? I brought some.
Please mash them into the microphone.
Yeah, just
I got tacos that I'm munching on myself.
Did you bring some for everybody?
Yeah, go ahead. Reach
I did.
The camera.
Oh dear.
Tastes like electrons. That's how you like to say it anyway. I'm just going to let you do that.
Ben saw it and he mimicked the beginning diphthong of the word.
So how should I? Wheel spin? Blows out the mic when I do it like that. Wheel spin. You got to like turn sideways to say it.
I think the correct terminology is celebrity.
Celebrity.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Then you sound like Elmer Fudd. So Webwoody.
That's what makes it even better.
So Webwoody.
So Webwoody.
Oh, I think the correct terminology is so Webwoody.
One look is all it takes to see that the new 2011 Toronto Cordry conveys new level.
That's a Tonando.
What did I say?
You said Toronto.
Toronto.
I like it. Jeez.
Crazy.
I'm thinking Canada, Audi, left on the side of the road. Anyway, let's talk about the Tonando Cordry.
Conundrum.
I knew this one was going to be hard.
God, you just do this. Let's try this again.